I have carefully selected the finest cut of scripture for you today for this post-Thanksgiving meal, this feast. We're going to feast on his faithfulness, church. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, there is a scripture that has often drawn my attention back to all that God has done for me and helps me keep my perspective in the craziness of life. How many know we're in a special season in our church? I said, how many know we're in a special season? We're intentional about leaving seasons and entering seasons in this church, just believing that, you know, we better leave this year in a place of great expectation. Thank you, Charles Dickens. Great expectations, and also with great gratitude. And this scripture today, actually I have several scriptures, but the one that I want to serve before you as our first course, okay? This one is going to help us with that mindset, where Moses says in Deuteronomy 8 verse 7, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks and streams and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig newtons, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey nut Cheerios." I modernized the text a little bit. Stay with me. "A land where bread will not be scarce." Touch somebody, say, "I want to go here. I want to go here." "A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills." He didn't say that the copper would be on top of the hills at the surface level, but he said if you're willing to dig in, you can find what you need in this season. We're ready to dig into the word today. Now comes the caution. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Next verse. That's why I'm staring at the screen, because I don't know the next one. "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down," that's the problem with some of us. We've settled down. We used to be enthusiastic about God's grace, but we start taking him for granted when we get settled. "But I don't want to settle. I don't want to settle. I don't want to settle just because God satisfied me. I want to stay hungry." Touch somebody, say, "Stay hungry. Stay hungry.
Stay thirsty, my friends."
If you forget God, you're going to settle down and forget the one who brought you here. "And when your herds," 13, "and flocks and stocks and bonds grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you'll forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." I'm gonna read a few more verses. I don't know if they're on the screen. "He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble you and test you, that in the end, it might go well with you. And you may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today." You ready for my subject? You can't handle my subject. My title alone is going to bless you today. All right, so if you need to leave after the title, you'll already be blessed just from the title. I want to talk about graduating in gratitude. Graduating in gratitude. Going to another level. Touch your neighbor and say, "Your next level is one praise away." Find somebody else. I don't know if that person believed you. You might need to find another neighbor. You've got several. Turn to somebody else that looks like they have more faith and say, "You're next level." Come on, shout it out and say, "Your next level is one praise away." Come on, can we give him one more praise? Thank you, Jesus. Graduating in gratitude. Please be seated. Thank you, worship team. God bless you. Thank you to all of our campuses that are joined up, all of the people that came out of their carbohydrate coma to honor the Lord this weekend. You know, that's amazing. You guys look thinner after Thanksgiving. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I believe you lost weight over Thanksgiving. Your jawline looks strong." Graduating in gratitude. I watch some interesting stuff on YouTube. Just want to get that out there. I go on kicks. And a couple years ago, I went on a kick where I watched commencement speeches at Stanford and Harvard and other different little colleges. I watched a commencement address from Steve Jobs, which was pretty cool. He talked about how failure in his life was actually the thing that freed him from his fear so he could succeed. So that was cool. I watched one by David Foster Wallace, the novelist. His was more funny. He was really witty about talking about the everyday mundane life that you live after graduation, and if you don't prepare for that, it can catch you off guard because life is not just like a party. So he's preparing these graduates for that reality. I watched one from Oprah. Hers was amazing. I think she's always interesting to listen to. She's very real, and so her just walking through how she became Oprah and what that looked like to me was fascinating. I've heard it before, but just something about who she was addressing, these people who are going into the next stage of their life. They're moving from one level to another level. And to hear the words that they choose to use in transition to me is very interesting. In that season where you have so many questions and so many hopes and so many dreams. And I think it's cool how God put a commencement speech in the Bible from Moses, you know, the valedictorian of the prophets. He's saw God face to face. God said, "Other prophets have I spoken to, but Moses I speak with face to face." And that's cool because it means that Moses had an experience with God that he could pass to the people. And that's what a commencement speech, I guess, is all about. It's a bunch of people who aren't paying attention because they really just want to throw their cap and go get drunk, listening to someone tell them kind of what's next and give me some keys to figure out where I'm going and what I'm doing. And in a sense, we're watching a graduation ceremony for the Israelites. They still have some battles ahead of them before they enter the promised land, but Moses is telling them, it's about to happen. You're about to flip the tassel. Da, 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 da. But before you go there, make up your mind that when you get there, you won't forget who brought you. And he must know that they have a tendency, because he led them for 40 years through the wilderness, millions of people, a tendency to kind of, as God provides for them, let their preferences cause them to miss God's provision. If they didn't like the way that the food tasted or the schedule on which the food came, they were very quick to complain under Moses' leadership. So he says to them, You're going to a better place. Your best is before you. And on one hand, he's prophesying the potential of the promised land, but he's also pointing out the proclivities of people who enter the promise to forget the provider once they've received it. So as he does this, he goes through the kinds of things they're going to experience, and he tells them, be really careful, because God's gifts alone are not able to give you joy. God's gifts alone are not able to give you joy. God's gifts can only bring you joy when they are joined with your gratitude. You know, Holly and I live in the woods. We have like 19 acres of land, but although we have many trees, we didn't have firewood, because I don't know what to do to turn the trees into firewood. I don't have that equipment. I don't have that training. I'm surrounded by the raw material to heat my house. Yet I had to pay someone to come over the other day and take what I had on my land and turn it into something that could heat my home. You know, you can be surrounded by all these blessings, all these relationships, all this provision, all this goodness, all these opportunities, but if you don't know how to turn the blessing into praise, it'll turn to pride in your heart, and your life will never be filled with joy, because your heart will have holes in it. And Moses speaks to this. Moses speaks to this. He's come to give us a commencement address to say that maybe what you need in your life isn't the next level of accomplishment or the next level of accumulation, but the next level of appreciation for what you have that will set the stage for you to make the most out of what you accumulate in the future. Because if you grow in gifts but don't grow in gratitude, what have you gained? If God gives it but you don't know what to do with it, it won't make you happy. Some of you, if God gave you a husband right now, you don't like yourself enough to unwrap the gift and appreciate it. But this isn't a marriage seminar. This is a Thanksgiving sermon. It's about how to be happy. And they study more and more that the happy people are not the ones who have the best of everything, but those who make the most of everything they do have. You know this. You've met people with less than you that seem to have more joy. Brené Brown, this researcher that I like to read her, her books. She studies a lot on the topics of wholeness, what makes a person whole. And she doesn't even approach it from like a religious perspective. It's more research-based, more sociological. And I like this book that she wrote called The Gifts of Imperfection. She has a whole section devoted to gratitude. And I thought, since, you know, many of us don't read as much as we should, we'll have a little book club time with Pastor Stephen today. You can count this toward your book it chart and get your personal pan pizza at the end of the school year. Y'all don't know nothing about a personal pan pizza. But I just want to read you directly from this book the parts I highlighted, because this really spoke to me. She said, when it comes to gratitude, When she was researching, the word that jumped out throughout the process is practice. Practicing gratitude. Practicing gratitude. Because let me break this to you. Gratitude is not natural. Disagree with me on that, and you only prove that you have never fed a two-year-old. There is nothing natural about gratitude. There's nothing instinctive that makes your child appreciate the sacrifices that you made to put food on the table. So she said the phrase that came to her in research was practicing gratitude. And she said to her, this was shocking and somewhat of a call to action. She said, for years I subscribed to the notion of an attitude of gratitude. I've since learned that an attitude is an orientation or a way of thinking, and that having an attitude doesn't always translate to a behavior. For example, it would be reasonable to say that I have a yoga attitude. The ideals and beliefs that guide my life are very in line with the ideas and beliefs that I associate with yoga. Okay? She said, But let me assure you, my yoga attitude and my yoga pants don't mean jack if you put me on a yoga mat and ask me to stand on my head or strike a pose. As I'm sitting here writing this, I've never practiced yoga. I've never put the attitude into action. It seems that gratitude without practice may be a little like faith without works. It's not alive. So we don't so much want to know, do you have a grateful heart? But do you have grateful habits? Because your joy is not produced by what's in your heart. It's produced by your habits with which you build your life. I told somebody one time, they said, you know my heart. You know, they were explaining why they never say things out loud, appreciative things out loud. You know my heart. To which my silent answer was, no, I don't. I'm not a freaking cardiologist. Is what I was thinking. The Bible teaches something very powerful, and it's very simple. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Touch your neighbor, say, say so. If you think I'm doing good, say so. That's why I can't stand when y'all are quiet during my sermon. I work hard on this mess to turn it into a message. And if you think I'm preaching, you ought to shout. You ought to holler at me. You ought to let me know this is all right. This is hitting the spot. This is better than crock pot macaroni. Come on, somebody. I'm having Thanksgiving flashbacks. Say so. Say so. You like my outfit? Say so. Say so. It's very basic, you know. This is the most basic level of gratitude. And Moses is saying, hey, make sure that when God blesses you, you say the blessing. That's my first point. This is our first level. This is the foundation of real gratitude and perhaps real faith. Say the blessing. Say the blessing. I think there's power in teaching your kids how to act at the table if you can. At least try to teach them how to act at the table if you can. So like at our table, bring out the table, guys. At our table at the house, we have like a family blessing that we say. Mealtimes at our house are chaotic. Abby always gets threatened to get sent to her room because of what she's not eating. Elijah and Graham are always fighting over something with each other relative to portion size. But we do one thing right. I think we do this right. I wrote us a family blessing. Holly said, babe, you know, you can't cook. So maybe your contribution to our culinary experience, you could write a family blessing that our family, we can sing around the table. So I didn't make my own music. This music is borrowed, but I did write the words to this. Would you like to hear the Furtick family blessing? I'm not going to do it if you don't want it. All right. This is proprietary stuff, people. Okay? This is family stuff. At our kitchen table, so you got to kind of play along with this to get the sense of it. We bang on the table, establish the beat. There you go. Don't speed it up too much. Keep the rhythm. White people, I know it's hard for you to keep the rhythm, but just lock it right there. So here's our blessing. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done, for this food and for Christ, your son. Amen. Let's eat some food. And thank you, Mommy. That's the blessing. You like that? All right, come on, try it with me. Here we go. And when they're ready to eat, they just start pounding on the table like inmates. Thank, thank you, Lord, for all you've done, for this food and for Christ, your son. Amen. Let's eat some food. And thank you, Mommy. And that's a blessing. Moses said, when you eat, say the blessing. I love my mom. My mom is in this worship experience, so I'm going to be really careful how I say this. She raised me right, but she had one dumb rule. Unbiblical. Unbiblical rule. She taught me never sing at the table. I guess I was prone to make all kinds of noises at the table. And I understand the heart behind it, that we wanted to eat in peace. But Moses said, not what mom said, what Moses said, you better learn to sing at the table. That is, while God is blessing you, while God is pouring out provision for you, you ought not just sit there and act like you earned it or act like you deserved it. I can't understand why some people come to church and cross their arms the whole time. When God brings you to the table and feeds you his faithfulness, when God brings you to the table and feeds you his word, I feel Keith Green. How can you be so dead when you've been so well fed? You better say something. If that food is good, open up your mouth and sing. The principle lies in verse 10. He said, when you, watch, I'm going to teach y'all real quick. When you have eaten. This is after you get the blessing. This is basic. This is the kiddie table of Christianity. And most people never even make it here. God gives them 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and they won't even return two to God to come to church and thank him. Not you, the people that are watching online. You're good. Clap, 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 clap. Come on. You're good this week. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God. You see, it's almost like training a child, because the Israelites are just coming to know God as their provider. And so Moses has to teach, praise the Lord your God for this food. For the good land he has given you. For the. You better praise him. For the. Okay? This is the basics of praise. For the. This is where it starts. This is what you're trying to teach your kids to do. Thank you, mommy, for the food. I enjoyed it. Thank you, God, for the use of my limbs. That's helpful. Thank you, God, for my eyesight. Just whatever you can think of. Let's do some more for this, because it's good to practice. This is a basic level. Thank you for the nose. He pointed at his nose. Thank you for the nose on my face. Thank you for the clothes on my back. Thank you for the roof over my head. Thank you, Lord, for the wife that encourages me from the front row. Thank you for the undefeated Carolina Panthers. Thank you for the way they embarrassed the Dallas Cowboys. Thank you for the undefeated Clemson Tigers. Thank you for the way they shut down the Gamecocks. Thank you for the running water that came out of my sink like magic when I went to turn it on today. Thank you for the people in my life who believe in me, who haven't given up. Thank you for the crazy family that you let me have. All the dysfunction and everything is just teaching me and developing me. Thank you for the air-conditioned, heated building. Whatever I need it to be, I can make it feel comfortable. Thank you for the freedom to worship in a place where I'm not persecuted. Thank you for the brothers and sisters sitting all around me, helping me praise God. Thank you for the grace you gave me when I failed this week. Thank you for the prayers you answered. Thank you for the ways you made. Thank you for... Turn around and tell somebody one thing you're thankful for. Tell them, I thank God for the money to pay my rent, for the money to pay my mortgage. I thank God for the for the sunshine. I thank him for the fall. I thank him for the winter. I thank him for the holiday season. I thank him for the Starbucks I can afford this week. I thank him for the provision. That's what Moses is teaching at the kiddie table. Thank you for the. Perhaps happiness is not about accumulation as much as it is about appreciation. But this world doesn't market appreciation to us. You can't even get through Thanksgiving before they're filling your newspaper with pictures of crap you don't need that you have to buy the next day. The worst Thanksgiving our family has ever had was a few Thanksgivings ago when some demon brought a newspaper in my house with the sale papers for Black Friday on Thanksgiving Thursday. It made me so mad to see my kids circling stuff. Can we not just have one day? Just one day? You know what I had a vision of in my mind? I'm gonna hire a professional photographer to come to the house and take a picture of all the crap I bought you last Christmas and put it in a book like a catalog, and you can circle what you already have and say thank you. Thank you, Dad. God wants to know, can we not just have one day, one season? Do you always need me to do something else? But see, God is gracious. God's more gracious than the utility company. Because the utility company makes sure that every month you appreciate them. And if you fail to show appreciation, they'll stop providing power. They'll give you a chance to rectify and remedy the situation. It'll be a little invitation you'll get in the mail, an invitation to appreciate their faithfulness. It'll say something at the top like, past due. Oh, God told me to tell somebody in the back, your praise is past due. Your praise is past due. And maybe that's why there's been no power in your life lately, because there hadn't been any praise. And God said, I can't get the power to your life because you won't release a praise. You want power? Then give them a praise. Give them a praise. Clap those hands, baby. Give them. Is your praise past due? Are you walking in blessings that used to be your prayer request and you haven't even stopped to circle them and say, thank you, Lord? For the, Moses said, thank him for the good land. Thank him. When you tithe, you say thanks. When you bring an offering at the end of the year, you're saying thanks. When you graduate from just an attitude of gratitude to a way of life that is grateful, you say, thank you, Lord. Yet to really graduate from the kiddie table, because I don't know about you, but I don't want to sit in this seat the rest of my life. I don't want to be the kind of Christian who only thanks God when he's serving me. I don't want to be a grown man talking about, bang, bang, bang. This is the table called thanks, where I thank him for his provision. But to graduate, touch somebody, say, it's time to graduate. It's time to graduate. It's time to graduate. To graduate, we need David, because Moses was teaching the people to relate to God on the provision level. David was a little bit different because of his experience. He was raised up as a shepherd in Jesse's house, to be king anointed by Samuel, he had a remarkable ability to remember where he came from, and it always made him thankful and made him grateful. Even though his life was very dysfunctional, he was driven by a sense of returning to God who had given all the blessings to him. And David comes in to give us a deeper understanding of mature gratitude. It's not mature gratitude to thank God for what he's given you. That's just manners. That's just good manners. That's just politeness. So David comes along. He says, I want to move you from the kiddie table to the banquet table. Bring out the banquet table. David, who was not only a subject of the king, but a king of the people, had spent some time as a shepherd. And so while Moses is teaching the people to relate to God on the most basic level, when he blesses you, remember him. When he blesses you, obey him. When he keeps his covenant with you, keep his commands that it may go well with you. This is basic. David steps in and takes it a little bit deeper. Let's go deeper. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Have you heard this before? Maybe you heard it at a funeral. Maybe you heard it in a time of mourning. David wrote it in a valley. Yet he says something interesting in Psalm 23. And this takes us to the next level of praise. Psalm 23, verse 4. He says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Moses teaches us how to thank God for the. But David comes along and teaches us how to thank God even though. Even though. Even though. This is a graduated form of gratitude. This is the remedial level. Thank you for the. But this is the place where you learn to praise God even though. Even though. This is where you can have all hell breaking loose in one area of your life, but say, it is well with my soul when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my life, you have taught me to say, it is well. Even though my heart is broken, it is well. Even though I lost some people, it is well. Even though I'm going through, it is well. Even though, this is the table where you learn to thank God for what you can see. This is the table where you learn to trust God with what you cannot. Even though I walk through the darkest valley. Now, church, it's one thing for Professor Moses to tell us, thank God for the good land. But now we got to decide what kind of Christians we want to be. Are we only going to thank him for the food? Are we only going to thank him for the finances? Are we only going to thank him for the fiance? Or are we going to thank him even though I'm single? Where you want to sit? Am I only going to thank him when I can see the evidence of his presence? Even though recognizes his presence in the presence of enemies. This is the stage of praise where you're no longer thanking God for his provision only. Oh, you carry that over. You're still grateful for the provision. That's a starting place. But now I'm thanking him for his presence. You're going to need this. If you want to be a big boy and you don't want to be a baby, you're going to have to sit in this seat and learn to eat with enemies all around you. Can you keep your eyes fixed on the presence of God in the presence of your enemies? Because at this table, David said, God isn't the only one seated. I got enemies all around me. You prepare, verse 5, a table for me in the presence of my insecurity, in the presence of my deficits, in the presence of my addictions, in the presence of my confusion, in the presence of what I've lost, in the presence of the threat that I won't make it, in the presence of my enemies, I'm looking straight ahead. Would you do me a favor? Would you touch the person next to you and tell them, set the table? Because when you learn to have a heart of praise in the presence of enemies, you set the table. That's what David said, right? You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And if you can walk with God in darkness enough, depending on the light that he showed you in the last season, you'll learn to read your enemies as a sign that it's time to eat. Yes, sir. David said, God made my enemies serve me my entree. God made the things that conspired to take me out feed me for the place he was bringing me into. I got a seat at the table. I'm a big boy. I can handle trouble. I can handle tests. I can handle it. So I'm sitting down in the middle of all kinds of nonsense, but I got my eyes fixed on the presence of the one who is within me. And greater is he that is in me. Woo. Wouldn't it be great if you could turn the tables on your fear today? And make the thing that was coming after you serve the purpose of God in your life. David said, you can do it. You can do it. If you can eat in the presence of enemies. If you can be blessed under the weight of burdens. If you don't always need me to bring it up to the table and set it before you. But if you can say, see, when I praise God through pain, everybody shout, even though. No, shout it like you want the devil to hear. Even though you came at me, I'm still standing. Even though you set an ambush against me. Even though you tried to make me born kind of wild. I'm still sitting at the table. And when you praise him in pain, it is preparation for provision. If you can keep your seat and don't come back over here. I don't like kale. Grow up. God has been good to you. Grow up. He knows the plans he has for you. Grow up. Shove your neighbor, say, grow up. Grow up, man. This ain't no Easy Mac message. This is crockpot Christianity. It might take a little while, but it's gonna be good.
That's good,
but we need one more commencement speaker so we can graduate at the top of the class. This next level is a level that I am not sure that I have ever lived out, but I would like to. I would like to be able to live here. I've done the kiddie table thing. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're so good to me. Thank you for the sunshine. And you know what? I've even praised him in the rain, in the face of criticism and some adversity and some setbacks. I've sat at this table and I've said, even though he slayed me, yet will I trust him. Even though I did that, I did even though, but then, to really graduate, I don't think we can do it in a banquet hall. We got to learn how to praise off of prison food. So Paul takes the stage and says, graduates at the Church of Philippi, he's writing a little letter from a prison cell in Rome. And in the prison cell, they were trying to stir up trouble. They were trying to see if they could get him killed, get him executed. And he's writing about his feelings about that and how he's responding to it. And he said he wanted the church to know that there were some people, verse 17, who were preaching Christ out of selfish ambition. Watch this. Not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. Bring me my last thing here. He said, there's some people in here that are trying to stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. There are some things in my life that are stirring up trouble for me. There are even some people that I trusted and some situations I'm going through, and it's getting hot in here. Leave it right there. But he said, verse 18, what does it matter? This is a whole different level. This is like PhD stuff right here. Okay, Moses got us through kindergarten. David made sure we got our GED. But now Paul comes along to say, this is the terminal degree of faith. He said, I have some priorities and I know my purpose. So watch this. The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And here's the third level. Because of. You need me to point at it with the laser? Will that help you? I'm going to show you this. This is when you meet somebody who went through something that would have caused you to give up, and they're not even praising God in spite of it. They found the purpose that God worked out of it. I've never been here before. I haven't gotten here yet. I'm doing good to be at the even though table. But I am asking God that I could have a concrete enough sense of his purpose in my life that I could not only praise him when he feeds me for the food he brought me, and not only praise him even though I'm going through something, but could I get enough faith to praise him because of this, because of what? Not because of the pain. I don't praise him for the pain. I praise him for what the pain is producing. You remember? Elijah and I heard a woman talking the other day. She said, you have to thank God for all things. Elijah turned to me and said, Bible doesn't say that. It says, thank him in all things. 10 years old, preaching with better theology than the reformers, preaching with better theology than John Wesley and John Calvin. It wasn't because of the experience of pain, it was because of the increase of purpose that the pain provided. That's why I praise him. That's why I praise him. Because of what he's doing, that's why I rejoice. I praise him because of his purpose. I praise him. This is maturity. This is grown folk faith. This is where you've graduated past the need to be served the dish. This is when you trust the cook enough to give praise in the kitchen. Stir the pot. Stir the pot. Stir the pot. When you praise God for what he's given you, that's great. You thanked him for provision. You said your blessing. Good job. You're five. When you praise God in spite of what the enemy is doing to you, that's pretty mature. You're going to make it through the valley. But if you want to have a PhD in faith, you can't just praise God in spite of it. You've actually got to look at the thing that you're going through and say, you know what? I've eaten at the table of the Lord long enough to know. Come on, help me preach this message if you got faith. That he knows what he's doing in my life. When me and Holly first got married and I walked in the kitchen and she was cooking something, I wanted to know all about it. You know, oh, you putting that in there? I hadn't tasted enough of her food to trust her process. But we've been married 13 years now, and she can cook, and she's been through the experimental phase, and she's been through the phase of trying this and trying that. Now she can be trusted. So when I walk in her kitchen now, I don't ask any questions. I just start stirring whatever she put on the stove. Y'all aren't getting this. Y'all aren't getting this in the back. They're not getting this, University City. They're not getting this. God said, I want you to get to the place where you can praise me in the kitchen, because you know that whatever I serve up is going to be good. It's going to be good. Come on, high five seven people. Tell them it's going to be good. 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 Stir it up. Stir it up. I can take the heat. So I came into your kitchen today, God, to give you praise for whatever you're cooking up in my life. And I want to thank you for every ingredient that you allow in my life, because I know that you know the plans you have for me. If it didn't serve God's purpose, he wouldn't have let it get in your pot. We know that all things work. I like preaching to people who know how to stir themselves up. It's not everybody, but it's some people. You don't even have to stir them up, because they are stirred by purpose. They are stirred by purpose. I like that sound. You like that sound? I walk in sometimes and Holly says, taste this. Taste this. Taste this. But see, I'm smart. I don't say anything about how it tastes right now, because it's not done. It's not done. She's just showing me that she's working. She's working on it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So now I walk in the kitchen. I don't even ask what's in the pot, because I trust the cook. I'm not a little baby over here drooling on my bib and drinking from my bottle. And I don't even just want to set the table and wait for God's blessing to come. Paul said, I continue to rejoice. I continue. You don't have to feel grateful to be grateful. That's the sound right there. I don't eat the garlic. If I eat the garlic before it gets stirred into the marinara, That's a disaster. And some of y'all, you're tasting the bitterness.
I don't like that, God. You heard what they said about me?
No. I didn't say that all things were good. I said that all things... Y'all aren't helping me preach. Y'all aren't helping me stir. Y'all aren't helping me stir. There's a whole section of people. I wish you would stand up and help me stir. I'm telling you, God is up to something in your life. He's a master chef. He knows what he's doing. You don't know Bob Marley. Stir it up. He was on to something. He was on. Bob Marley was a prophet when he said, stir it up. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, stir it up. Tell him again, say, stir it up. Stir. I'm at the wrong church for this message. I'm at the wrong church. Are there any stirrers at all in the church? Any stirrers? Come on, when you shout, that stirs something in your spirit. Stir it up! Stir it up! Stir it!
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.